Give it just a minute, and then we'll get started. I guess before we do, has everybody got a workbook here? Okay. If you don't have one, Keegan and Jeff in the back can get you one. And just as a disclaimer, I put this workbook together so you can better follow along with the video. But that's a compilation of some of my notes as I went through it again. And then it really has some parallels to some conference materials we purchased in the past. So, all right, Keegan, we ready? Okay. All right, well, I'm glad you chose this session. You're going to love it. It is really a lot of fun, but I guarantee you're going to be challenged. So here's some challenges that I have for you. So I would ask that you commit to be here each Sunday. You miss a session, you can probably make it up, but being here for the next 12 weeks will be a blessing and a challenge to you. And so today's an introduction, so don't get too concerned that there's not going to be a ton of depth. But I promise you, it gets deeper as we go, and you're really going to see how biblical and practical the teachings are here today. So, expect to be challenged. And really, I think if you come with that expectation and the desire to change or consider change, you'll be blessed, and you'll be another further step toward progressive sanctification, which is what we're all on. So I shared this with you all as we were talking about why this particular series. But, you know, if you're married or plan to be married in the future, there's rich application for you. This is going to help fortify your marriage and your home. And as you remember, hopefully you remember I said, and I hope you ascribe to this, so goes the home, so goes the family, the community, the nation, the world. And ultimately, if we get it right, we can make a big impact in all of those areas. For those of you that aren't married, and maybe you don't plan to marry, that's okay. The Bible says that's okay. You're going to pick up some principles here that will help you have more effective male-female relationships. And then my final challenge to you is use this workbook. Fill in the blanks, take notes, study the scripture at home. There is so much here that you can take and do one of your devotions in the morning. Maybe not every morning, but take a morning and just make sure you're looking at the scripture behind a lot of the principles, and I think you'll be blessed by that as well. Talk about it and laugh about it with your spouse. Julie and I have done this 5 times. We learn something new every time. We, do laugh and talk about it from time to time. But it really has truly impacted us in a positive way. And I think the other part is, as you talk about it, commit to making some adjustments in your interactions with each other. And then hold each other accountable to change. So those are my challenges for you. With that, we'll start the video.
We are so excited about being here with you, and we are grateful that you chose to come and be with us. Many of you have had a busy day, a busy week, and Sarah and I have as a commitment with our hope and our prayer is that as a result of your time being here, you think, I am so glad we came. It was truly an encouragement. That's our desire, that you go away after the last session saying, I am so thrilled that we made the decision to come. So we are here to serve you in that regard and make that our goal and our hope for you, that this will not be a time that you look back and say, man, I could have been doing something better. That is our commitment to you. Thank you for honoring us by coming. We are tickled to be here. We've been looking forward to this event. And every one of you, honor us. Sarah and I are so grateful to you. And we hope that you'll laugh at all of my jokes. Male and female communication. It is a fun topic. It is a fun topic. She says, I have nothing to wear. Right? What she means is she has nothing new. He says, I have nothing to wear. What he means is he has nothing clean. Now, how is it that you can say the same exact words? I have nothing to wear. I have nothing to wear. But you mean something different. That's amazing. How can that be? And it's based on male and female differences. And that's an innocent enough difference. But imagine she fixes an evening meal and afterwards she says, that's the worst meal I've ever made. He goes, no, it's not, honey. Now, where's that going to go? What are you saying? Are you saying I've made thousands of worse meals than that? Okay, mama's boy. Just go move in with your mother for a couple of weeks and let her feed your fat face. But what if he was full of goodwill? What if he was full of goodwill? What if he meant by what he said is, no, you haven't. You never made a bad meal. You see how we get into these tensions and conflicts and troubles? Irritations, fights, arguments. Bam, it can happen just that quick. What did you mean by what you said? Then again, maybe he had been making some snide remarks over the last several weeks about her cooking. So when she said, that's the worst meal I've ever made.
No, it's not, honey.
Same words. Same words. But different tone. The first year of our life, as infants, we interpreted the whole world through the nonverbal. We watched our parents' facial expressions. We listened for tones. We didn't understand the meaning of the words. It's been suggested, even as adults, 80, 90% of our communication is nonverbal. We're listening to what did you really mean by what you just said. I know what you meant. And so you can see how we get into these conflicts, because we're trying to read what the other means. Why is that? Why does this kind of thing happen? Well, I believe in part it's because God made us this way. He made us male and female. I love the statement of Jesus. He said, have you not read? He who made them from the beginning made them male and female. Have you not read? He who made them from the beginning made them male and female. I liken it to the fact that God made women to look at the world through pink sunglasses. And it colors what she sees. In fact, I don't know if you know it, but she has pink hearing aids. And it affects what she hears. And in fact, she speaks through a pink megaphone. Men, on the other hand, wear blue sunglasses and have blue hearing aids and speak through a blue megaphone. So, for instance, if that woman is among 10 women and she says, I have nothing to wear, she speaks that through her pink megaphone. All 10 women who are listening through their pink hearing aids knows exactly what she meant by what she said. Oh, honey, I don't have anything new either, but we're going shopping in a few minutes. You want to come down with us? If that guy is speaking to 10 guys through his blue megaphone and they're listening through their blue hearing aids, I don't have anything to wear. They'll all say, she ain't doing your laundry either. Interesting dynamic. Pink and blue. Not wrong, just different. And as I looked at Scripture, I realized there was a powerful verse, Ephesians 5:33. Ephesians 5:33. That is the summary statement to the most significant treatise in all of the Bible on marriage. Almost everybody who turns to the Bible for wisdom and insight on marriage will always land at some point on Ephesians 5, because it is kind of the pinnacle. It's the greatest treatise on marriage. And Ephesians 5 concludes with a powerful statement. It is as though this is the summary statement. It is as though this is the last word to the church from God. You know, if my grandfather was dying and he was on his deathbed and he said, "Emerson, come, son, I have something to share with you. Come close. You and I know that whatever my grandpa said, it's going to be the most important thing he's ever said to me. It's been said that a person's last words are the most important words that they will speak. It's as though God is saying to the church, come close. Come close. I want to speak to you my last words on marriage. Listen to me, children. Listen to me, son. Listen to me, daughter. If you listen to me, everything's going to be okay." What I saw there is a pink and blue issue, a male and female issue. Paul, who penned it, writes this: "Husbands must love their wives, and wives must respect their husbands." And I thought, that's an interesting distinction. And I concluded that a wife needs to feel love for who she is like she needs air to breathe. In fact, she has a love tank, so to speak, kind of an oxygen tank. And there's a hose connected to this love tank, and she needs to breathe in that love like she breathes in air. She just needs to feel loved. And when she is loved, she feels fulfilled. She's a happy camper. But if he comes in as a big elephant looking for some place to eat his peanuts and stands on her air hose, she's not going to go, "Oh, okay, I'm going to suffocate and die." No, she's going, "Get off my air hose, you beast, get off." And if there's a baseball bat there, she's going to club that elephant right upside the head. And all he's doing is looking for some place to eat his peanuts. And all he knows now is he's bleeding. "Get off my air hose, you beast." We'll come back to that. I will tell you that when her air hose is stepped on, she negatively reacts. And she's speaking through her pink megaphone, intending for blue hearing aid people to understand. Well, that second part of that verse says the wife must respect her husband. Apparently, he needs to feel respected for who he is apart from his performance, in the same way that she needs to be loved for who she is apart from her performance. What I discovered is that no husband feels fond feelings of love and affection in his heart toward a wife he thinks despises who he is. It's not within his nature, any more than a woman responds sexually to a man who's harsh and angry with her week after week. It's not within her nature. Her pink nature doesn't respond. She's not designed by God to respond to that. It's not within the male nature to respond to someone he thinks despises who he is. And what I've discovered is these concepts not only apply to marriage, and we know that many singles are here. A rose is a rose by any other name, and a male is a male, whatever else you call them, and a female is a female, no matter what you call her, that the nature tends to be the same. And he has this respect tank connected by an air hose, and he needs to breathe in that respect like he breathes in air. And when she comes in as a beautiful fawn, with all of her little fawnettes and has a picnic on his air hose, he's not going to go, "Okay, I'm going to suffocate and die. Just go ahead and kill me." No, no. "Get out of here. Everybody get out of here. Get out of here." He's grouching, grumpy, and angry. "Get out of here." Interesting. Think about that. Husbands must love their wives. Wives must respect their husbands. Let me illustrate something, though. How does this play itself out? What would be an illustration of a woman feeling unloved? What would be an illustration of a husband feeling disrespected? Well, let's start with a woman. Suppose it's January 15th and she gets on the scales and she looks down and she's put on 13 pounds. She comes to her husband and says, "I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I can't believe all the pounds I put on since all those Thanksgiving meals, all the Christmas parties, all the New Year celebrations. I can't believe it. I feel fat. I feel ugly. I have nothing to wear. Can't do anything with my hair." He's a sensitive guy, trained in the 90s. He listens. He goes to the bookstore the next day, and he comes in, and the lead book The lead book, right in the bookstore, Dieting for the Christian Woman. Every man makes this mistake once. The subtitle, Post-Holiday Menus. So he gets that book and brings it home. And he gives it to her. He thinks he's at Cape Canaveral. She goes ballistic. She goes right up. And as she's going up, she's screaming at him and pointing a finger. You men have two brains. You men have two brains. One's lost and the other's out looking for it. She calls him a brainless idiot. Now, what's going on? When she sees that diet book, her pink hearing aids go into dissonance. Her glasses fog over. And she hears a message coming through that diet book from him to her. And that message is this:
I do not accept you. I do not approve of you. I do not love you unless you look like a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader.
That's what she hears. That's what she hears. And she goes ballistic. She begins to feel, you don't love me unless. You'll only love me if. You'll only love me if I perform. That's what she hears. And she reacts negatively. In fact, when she feels unloved, she reacts in very disrespectful ways. In fact, what we're going to see is when he feels disrespected, he reacts in very unloving ways. But what's also interesting is if she brought a diet book home for him, she brings it to him and gives him a diet book.
Hey, thanks. Hey, what's for dinner?
And you see, when he looks at himself in the mirror, he can see Atlas there. He can bring Atlas out anytime he wants. May I suggest to you that body image issues are different between men and women? All the research points this out. We all are concerned about how we look, but I'm going to tell you that women are especially sensitive to appearance issues. Very sensitive. And what's even more interesting is if her best girlfriend came over with the diet book. Did you get that diet book? She says to her best girlfriend. Yes. Well, are you going to go on that diet? Do you want to do it together? Should we start Monday? You see, when pink speaks through pink megaphone, pink hearing aids no go into dissonance. But when blue speak, go through dissonance. And also, though, sometimes, you know, pink can speak through her pink megaphones about a diet book, and blue doesn't go into dissonance. You can't never kind of know when it's going to happen. So when she feels unloved, she reacts, though, in ways that feel very disrespectful to him. Her negative reaction is trying to send him a message. I feel unloved right now. Unfortunately, at a certain point, he no longer hears the deeper cry of her heart. He only hears, I don't respect you, Buster, any further than I can throw you. What are we going to do about that dilemma? Well, let's think of a couple weeks down the road, and she's in that bookstore, and the lead book, The Key to Marital Bliss, Communication. And she picks up that book and starts reading it, and she says, this is us, this is us. She buys it. That's the third marriage book this year she's purchased for the two of them to read. She brings it home, and she devours it from cover to cover, and she says, he needs to read this. But he's busy. He's busy. He's too busy, really, to read it from cover to cover. So I'm going to highlight in yellow some of the key sections for him. And then she puts it on a stand next to the chair that he sits in when he watches football. But she notices he doesn't pick it up. Why? Because this is the third marriage book. And that third marriage book, his blue hearing aids start going into dissonance. And he white knuckles it as he watches football. He knows it's there. He knows it's there. But he's thinking, first two marriage books we got huge fights. Huge fights. It's the third one. We
We're going to get in a huge fight. If I say something, I'm in trouble. If I don't say something, I'm in trouble. But if I don't say anything, I'm in less trouble.
So he stonewalls. He neglects it. Why? In his world as a male, he hears a message coming from her through the marriage book to him, which is this: I don't accept you. I don't approve of you. I don't respect you, Buster, unless you change right now. That's what he hears. Now, I'm not justifying that. He can be completely wrong. Hey, I'm not justifying the wife when she goes ballistic when he's trying to be helpful and gives her a diaper. He may not even be coming close to saying, I don't love you, unless. And she may not even be coming close to saying, I don't respect you, unless. But what I am going to say is there's a tendency within the nature of the female to interpret diet books through pink. She videotapes her world through pink. And she sees pink and she sees things that threaten pink. I'm not saying he's justified for feeling that way about the marriage book, but what I'm going to say, he's a male created by God. Not wrong, just different. And he interprets marriage books through a different grid. He doesn't see this as increasing love. He sees it as another situation that's going to result in him losing respect. And what's interesting is if he brought home a marriage book to her, she would go, did you buy that marriage book for us? Do you want to read it? I mean, do you want to start tonight and just kind of go through it, the two of us, reading out loud to one another? And then she's going to be on the phone to all of her girlfriends, telling them that he brought home a marriage book. He got a marriage book. We're one. We're connected. We're soulmates. Why doesn't she get all bent out of shape? Because she filters a marriage book through a different color, through a different nature, called female. Why does he get all bent out of shape about the marriage book? And why not about the diet book? Because he's made male. Not wrong, just different. Fascinating. Powerful. But what's interesting is when he shuts down on that marriage book, when he refuses to read it, that stonewalling, that neglect, that silence at the level of intimacy in a woman's world screams, I don't love you. She would never do that. It's inconceivable. It's like fingernails down a chalkboard. How can you do this? You see, when he feels disrespected, unfortunately, he can begin to react in ways that feel hugely unloving to her. And I discovered something. I call it the love and respect connection, that without love, she reacts without respect, and without respect, he reacts without love, and then without love, she reacts without respect, and without respect, he reacts without love, and without love, she reacts without respect, and this baby starts to spin, and it gets crazy. If I came into this room and flipped on the lights two or three times and they didn't come on, you wouldn't think anything about it. But if I stood there for a half hour, 30 minutes, ever since I've been up here, and flipping them on and off, but they aren't coming on, right? I just keep flipping them on and off. You'd say I'm what? Crazy. Craziness is when we keep doing the same thing over and over again with the same ill effect. And we're compassionate toward people who are mentally handicapped, for instance, and mentally crazy, as we might say. They'll sit and rock and do this, or they'll keep repeating the same thing. And we're compassionate because we know it's a physiological problem. But there's a marital craziness. People of sound mind who've been married for many years are in what I call the crazy cycle. They keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. The topics change, but they keep spinning on the same crazy cycle, and they do it week after week after week after month after month after year after year. Good-willed people, not evil-willed people. Spinning, and they're getting nowhere. Now, someone might be saying, well, don't we women need respect? Or what are you saying? Are you saying that women don't need respect? Are you saying that men don't need love? No. It's a continuum. We all need love and respect. There's no question about that. In fact, you know, some of you might say, hey, you're from Michigan area. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Aretha, baby. Aretha Franklin, the soul queen. You know she sang that song, Women Want Respect. Yeah, that's right. Although, did you know that Otis Redding wrote that song? In 1965, and it was released as a single by him for 2 years, and then they changed it to fit this up-and-coming soul queen in the late 60s called Aretha Franklin. I hope the irony of that doesn't escape your notice. But apart from that, yes, women need respect and men need love. But here's what I discovered. If women really wanted R-E-S-P-E-C-T as their most longed-for value from their husband, then tell me why in the whole card industry, why is there not one card from a husband to a wife that says, baby, I really respect you? It's not there, because you don't want that card. You want L-O-V-E. Now the card industry tried it, I'm sure, because they know Aretha's song, and those cards just bomb. But also by way of insertion, you won't find one card from a wife to a husband that says, baby, I really respect you. We become a love-dominated culture. The Beatles sang, all you need is love. And we bought it, hook, line, and sinker. But there's something deeper within the souls of your sons that if we don't rightly diagnose, he's going to be an unhappy boy, a very unhappy boy. And also, if you show disrespect to a woman week after week, disrespect, 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 she'll go, you know what? What? You don't even love me. How can you treat me disrespectfully and say that you love me? She'll land on love. You show disrespect to a man week after week, disrespect, 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 disrespect. He'll go, you know what? What? I don't deserve this disrespect. Everybody respects me but you. He lands on respect. Interesting. Why is that? Well, what I discovered in the New Testament is the husband is commanded to agape love his wife. Agape is that unconditional love. There's agape and then phileo, Philadelphia, city of brotherly love, and that's another Greek word for friendship love, basically, and then there's eros, erotic, and those three Greek words all represent marriage. Agape, unconditional element, the friendship, phileo, and then the eros or the erotic dimension. But no wife, did you know, is commanded to agape love her husband? In the New Testament, only husbands are commanded to agape. Why? I thought to myself as I looked at that. I had the privilege of studying the Bible 30 hours a week for nearly 20 years for the pulpit ministry in a college town. Have my PhD from Michigan State University as well in family-related studies. Have a master's in communication. So I kind of have a science bent, but I also have a scriptural bent. In fact, if you're an unchurched person, I understand that too, because I was unchurched for many years. So I want to be sensitive to your spiritual journey. But many of you who are outside the church are very concerned about the hypocrites in the church. And many people here are church people, and we all feel this need to be challenged. That's why they're here. We feel the need in our own souls to be challenged, to be more consistent in our marriage. So if you'll let me preach to the choir, permit me to do that, because the choir sometimes needs to be preached to, and many people in the church are saying, we need a challenge, we need encouragement. And if you're unchurched, help me, work with me as we go through this. We want to be very sensitive. I was in a college town for many years. I understand your presuppositions, your worldview. I'm not here to offend you. I'm here to challenge Christians. But I also want you to hear something that I think will encourage you. My mom and dad were unchurched, and I wished, I long, and I'll tell you a little bit more about my own personal background. I wish mom and dad would have had an opportunity to hear this. Because I wet the bed until I was 11. I cried myself to sleep many a night. I was eventually sent to a military school at age 13 and was there until age 18. Because of family difficulties. And my mom and dad were good-willed, but they were on this crazy cycle. And it affected me deeply. I sometimes in recent days have been praying, oh, if somebody had just gotten to my mom and dad, like maybe I'm having the privilege of getting to some of you. I know that my dad would not have wanted to be here. He would have come under protest. He would have felt very uncomfortable until I started telling a few jokes. You know, I know my dad. I know some of you are like my dad, and I'm here to serve you. If you're unchurched, I understand. But back to the believers. In the New Testament, then, no wife is commanded to agape love, only the husband is. And I thought, why is that? Because God designed women to love. It's within her nature to nurture. She loves to love. It's something very powerful. God isn't going to command her to do what he created her to do because he's not into redundancy. That's why when you say to a guy, hey, yeah, does your wife love you? Yeah. Does she like you? No. Not today. And now that I think of it, she didn't like me yesterday either. See, men don't lack the assurance that their wives love them unless she says, I no longer love you.
And you'll find a little bit of a reversal here. Some of you are going to say, well, we're a little bit reversed. I need respect. I ask every woman who says that, are you in love with your husband? And you know the answer to that. See, he'll become insecure about your love when he senses you no longer love him. But most women want to love. It's within their nature to nurture. They love to love. You've got to wound a woman for her to stop that. But in the deepest recess of her heart, she's designed by God to love, and she wants love in response. I just wish he loved me as much as I love him. That's the typical sentiment. So guys don't lack assurance. That's why when you bring that marriage book home to him, he doesn't say, you don't love me. He doesn't process it that way. He knows you love him. And even if he were to say, you don't love me, you say, I do too. Don't you say that. You see, that's an affront to your nature. You would rebuke him. But you might go on to say, but no, I don't feel any respect for you right now. So what happens in the marriage relationship, because he's under command to agape love, he does that less by his nature. That's why God commands him to love, because it's not within his nature to love like you love. And that's why you long for him to be more loving, because you've sensed something within his nature. So when he feels disrespected, unfortunately, it's very natural for him to react in very unloving ways. But what I discovered is it's very natural for you to love, but when you feel unloved, it's very natural for you to react in very disrespectful ways. And this triggers the crazy cycle, big time.
All right. Well, like you hopefully saw, we're just going to get into it. But good stuff, right? Has anybody ever just had a silly, dumb argument? I did this week, I think, right? Probably even this morning. But, you know, you argue about silly stuff, and then it turns into a fight, an argument, a conflict, and we're goodwill people. We want what's best for our home, our family, our marriage, our kids. And ultimately, we say or do things we don't mean. And you misinterpret, and you ultimately get on what he's calling the crazy cycle. So next time, just as a precursor to that, he's going to help us understand how to recognize and avoid the crazy cycle so that we can be better communicators in the home. We can have words, tones, interpretation that actually do honor God and really edify the home and the marriage and what God has designed. So with that, let's close and we can be dismissed a little early. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time this morning. I thank you for the opportunity we have to partake in this particular study of love and respect. We thank you, Lord, that it's grounded in your truth, your word, your design for us. Lord, we know as husbands, wives, male, female, when we live out our God-given role, when we work in tandem with the other party, the other sex, Lord, we can be more effective. And that's really why you've designed us differently, given us specific different roles, Lord, such that we can synergize in the home, in the workplace, in the church, and to truly glorify you, but also to edify others that we come in contact with and to help others that may be struggling with different things. Lord, I pray that you would protect us this week. Help us to be mindful of the things we say, how we say them to our spouse, to others at work, and just try to really watch our communication, Lord, such that it's edifying, considerate, and even without the bias that we tend to put on it. Thank you for everyone here. Thank you for this church and the truth that's proclaimed. We ask that you would give us a good afternoon and bring us back here tonight, for we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.